Sean. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about understanding the language of the Spirit, because the Word is very clear that my sheep hear my voice. And God doesn't only speak English or Hebrew, okay, or Spanish or Russian or whatever other language, okay. Sometimes he doesn't even use words. He uses sounds. And we have to learn, because one, we've been studying about gates and cleansing our revelation gate. If you've been around here any length of time, we've been dealing with those things. And when we pray about those gates being opened in us, we should expect something to happen. I mean, we really should. That if I'm praying about my revelation gate being opened, and I'm spending the time to hear the voice of my Father about what how it needs to be cleansed, and if there's been a misuse of it or whatever, and I'm going through repentance and following the things that he's leading me to do about that, then I should expect there to be an increase in the revelatory giftings and the languages that he uses. Now, so tonight I'm just going to touch on some of the language of the Spirit. Okay, most of them I have scriptures, okay, that if you took my class, what is the glory of a king? Search out the matter, okay? Proverbs 25:2 is a part of, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of a king to search it out, okay? And there's this thing in the Word that talks about mysteries. Okay, now, what would you say a mystery was? It's something you don't know yet. Because if you knew what it was, it wouldn't be a mystery anymore. Thank you, Susie Wills, for that CD. Okay? So there are mysteries that are hidden and reserved for those who are hungry and desperate. Now, God can speak very clearly and plainly. Do you ever wonder? Do you ever just say, God, would you just speak plainly? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. That would make my life so easy. If you would just say, Connie, go do this. Well, he does that to babies. But as you develop and mature, he doesn't do that so much anymore. He speaks in the language of the Spirit. Because that mystery will create a hunger and a desire and a passion within us to search out the matters. Okay? Now, one of those languages that God uses is dreams. Okay? Dreams, visions, and I've got just like a whole list of things here. Now, one of the things that Sean talked about was stewarding what you've been given. Okay, there is a principle and a law that's contained in Scripture that says if you're given a little light, you have to follow it, obey it before you get more. See, we want to know what's at the end of the road. And he goes, no, you get two steps. That's it. And if we don't obey those two steps, we may not get to the end of the road. Okay, that's again frustrating. It's frustrating. But there's the purpose. Now, there was a quote I just came across, and it brought absolute comfort to my heart. Because I have some things I'm praying for clarity about. I put the oil on everything. I need clarity. Just give me a clear word. I promise I'll do it. I won't buck. I won't kick. I'll do it. He's not giving it to me. But he's giving me some dreams. He's giving me hints and riddles. But one of the quote that I ran across, and literally, if you write anything down, write this down, okay? God does not hide things from you. He hides things for you. You see, we think that God hides stuff from us. And there's a twofold reason. Because if you're not hungry and he tells you, you may not do it and then you fall under judgment. So he protects you. Because he said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so if there's things you're inquiring about, it's because he's hidden them away for you. That will come to you as you learn to hear the different languages of the Spirit. Okay? Chances are it's going to come relationally as you sit in the garden of God with him. Okay? That means you have deep communion in your heart and in your spirit with him. Okay? It's all about relationship. It's not about going out and doing all this stuff, working on a committee, going soul winning, any of that stuff. It's about learning to hear your Father's voice. Okay? Now, some of the ways that God will speak to us. Now, another quote, okay? Can y'all tell I like quotes? They're kind of like little darts that hit you. Okay? You ever heard of Jack Deere? I was coming out of the whole Southern Baptist thing. He has a statement that he says, God, excuse me, you'll have to edit that. God will offend your mind to reveal your heart. See, God doesn't violate his word, but he may violate your understanding of his word. Because we may not be understanding what he's actually saying in his word. See, I used to believe a lot of things that I don't believe anymore. My senior thesis in contemporary Christian values class was the evils of the charismatic movement. If they only knew. Because see, it's not that we compromise. Sometimes we just grow in our level of understanding. So my word of wisdom is, don't curse the places you've been, because they got you where you are today. See, I could look back at that college experience and go, man, I don't know if I learned anything there. I did. I learned the word, I learned the word, I learned the word, and I learned how to go soul winning. Okay? But I continue to grow beyond that. And so we have to not be afraid to look at things that are new and different. Okay? We are told to test the spirit. Okay? Now that means they may be uncomfortable. I've heard some things I get uncomfortable about. I've been to some conferences in the green room and I go, oh my goodness, I know you're not going to say that public. I know Jason Westerfield prayed some things and I looked at Virginia and I said, did he say that out loud? I know he just didn't say that out loud. And see, we've got to learn to test things by the Spirit. If they don't sit right with you, don't be so quick to judge them. Just put them on the shelf and ask God to teach you His truth. He'll lead you by truth, okay? People are so afraid of being deceived, okay? Guess what? We're all walking in levels of deception right now. Do you know that? Because we are coming into the fullness of knowing God. See, back when I was a Southern Baptist, I thought I knew everything. I did at that point in my life. But there were some areas called the gift of tongues I was under a little deception about. I was told, you're demon-possessed. But the funny thing is they didn't even believe in demon possession. Literally sat in a doctrines class and they said, we don't believe in demons. And this girl who would go to Africa every summer, we looked at each other and said, obviously he doesn't get out much. So trust your dad in heaven who loves you, who has put the spirit of truth in you, that he will lead and guide you into all truth. Okay? If it doesn't sit well with you, that last little section that we did there, some of you may have been a little uncomfortable. Okay? Y'all may, ooh, that's new age. Ooh, that's something. I've never been in something like that. That's okay. You can shelf it. We're not going to have hurt feelings. But see if you bear fruit of Christ-likeness. That's the standard. A spiritual experience is not the standard. Christ-likeness is the standard. See, having encounters is not the goal. The goal is to be like Christ. You can have 1,001 experiences, but if you're mean as a snake, there's a problem. There really is. So don't seek experiences for experience's sake. I love experiences because they are an opportunity to experience God that transforms this brain into thinking a different way. But it's not what I'm after. Okay? Now, some of the ways that God speaks, obviously, through the Logos and Rhema word. Okay? Obviously. We got that one. Logos is this right here, written. Rhema is when he breathes on one of these words and you go, wow, I never saw that before. Or you hear his voice. See, I grew up, you know, in my little Baptist circles, and thank God no one told me God didn't speak to me that way. Because I used to talk all the time, yeah, God said this to me, God said this to me. And finally, my pastor said, Connie, God doesn't speak that way. And I said, well, that's stupid. Because it's everywhere in the Bible. I didn't know any better. And I said, well, why would he stop? because you have the word. And I said, but I need to know about this situation, and that's not in the word. And he said, well, the principle's there. And he started, you know, getting all in my brain. And I said, okay. And I never stopped listening for him to speak to me. I loved my pastor. He was a good man. Had nothing against him, but I'd heard the voice of God too many times. Okay, so we know obviously it comes through the rhema and the logos. We got that one. Pretty much everybody in the room's got that one, right? All right, now the next one's a little freakier. That's the audible voice. Okay, and that's in John 12, 28 and 29. Okay, you have to have ears to hear that, because you know what? When he spoke, some heard what he said and some heard thunder. Do you ever wonder sometimes when it thunders if that was actually God's audible voice to someone near you and you didn't catch it? I think stuff like that. I'm like, dang, I hope that wasn't his audible voice and I missed it. Or I see lightning. And I'm like, man, did he just move? Because the scripture is very clear about those things happen when God moves and talks. Okay, the next one is the still small voice. Okay, we're kind of familiar with that one. That's an imprint of the heart. That's that little whisper that if you're not careful, you miss it. He doesn't like yelling. He'll speak real gently. Okay, and then the next one is visions. Okay, now you can have internal and external visions. Okay, then there are dreams. There are daydreams and night dreams. Okay. Now the next one is found in Proverbs 1:6. These are getting a little more mysterious. This is what the Bible calls dark sayings, enigmas, and riddles. See, riddles are, you have to figure them out. That takes sometimes some searching and some digging, okay? Another easy one, Matthew 13:11, is parables. Okay, then you have mysteries. Those are the fun ones you get to explore there. Now, this one is unusual coincidences, okay? We have a joke about that one. Because if you get too hyper-spiritual, you'll try to make something into everything. Okay, we have a saying, what is it, Virginia? What does that mean? Oh, she, where'd she go? It's if sometimes the same thing keeps happening over and over and over, and we used to laugh and go, so what does that mean? And we'd laugh and go, absolutely nothing. Okay, but sometimes it's when you wake up at 3:08 every night. You happen to go on a trip and you get room 308. Then someone walks up to you and says, hey, my address is 308. You should probably start looking to find out what does 308 mean. Okay, that is an unusual circumstance or an unusual coincidence. Now then there's the unusual circumstances where in and of themselves they don't mean anything, but when you group them together with things that are going on in your life, they're pretty substantial. That would be like Moses walking in the desert and the bush catches on fire. Okay, that doesn't happen every day. You should probably pay attention, okay? If you're walking down the road and the bush catches on fire and a voice comes out of it, you should probably stop, okay? The other is prophecy. The other comes through people's testimonies. And as you mature, Hebrews 5:14 talks about our own senses are actually trained to discern good and evil. And those are our body senses. That there's a point where you can feel things in your body that you know something by the Spirit. So those are different languages of the Spirit. So if you are trying to hear God's voice, you may have to step outside of, let me go read 15 chapters of the Word, and maybe I should go sit at the park, quiet my soul, and listen. Okay? Now, He speaks through sound, instruments, and even animals. Okay? I know that gets weird for people, but there was a time when one of the kings, every time he went to war, Israel always knew what he was doing. And you know what he said? Is there a bird listening to the council and going and telling him what we say? Okay? If there's a counterfeit, there's a real. Okay? All of creation cries out. All of creation cries out. And we've got to learn to begin to tune our spirit to hear in different ways. Okay? So, Pat, you getting ready? She's going to expound on dreams. Now, how many have dreams? Okay, because we're going to be praying, you know, about that. If we have time, I'm going to give some practical things to do to help you so that you can learn to interpret your own dreams. You should not have to go and send Pat your dream to get it interpreted. You should be doing that yourself, okay? Because it is a message, a personal message from God to you. And if you inquire, He will explain it to you, okay? Now, you may need some help, okay? But He will explain it to you. Okay, so Pat, you ready?
I just want to see a show of hands. How many people are having their dreams increased lately? Okay. Do you know that God will give you a dream, He'll take it, and He'll seal it in an envelope, and it's for you to open up later on. So the best dreams are the dreams that you don't remember, but we all dream. And, you know, I'm going to stand with Connie and say it's probably the most important thing, I think, when it comes to dream interpretation, is to have a real desire to hear what the Lord has to say to you. I myself, ever since I could remember, every morning when me and my brothers and sisters would wake up, my mother would sit with a notebook and she would ask us, "What did you dream last night?" And she would write down all of our dreams. And she did this every single morning from the time I was three. I don't even remember. But that's how long that I have been recording dreams. And it was really mostly my mother. And the only thing is that they weren't using the ancient Hebraic method that we find in the Bible. My parents were good, but they were not following in the way how they should have gone. So I've always had this natural curiosity to find out what does this mean? And going into the dark side and realizing what these dreams mean, it makes you're seeing too much negative and too much of the soul, and it kind of shuts you down. And it wasn't until I came across scripture in 1 Corinthians, and where Paul writes, you know, how he desires for all of us to prophesy. And that's when I realized that dreams is really nothing but a prophetic word from the Father that he has for us. It's a very personal prophetic word. And going through the process and learning dreams, you know, it's a process. But I will tell you, tonight, I learned something in dream. I can't get over it, that the Lord opened up. A door was definitely opened up because he took me back to a dream that I had back in 1982 that I still remember. And he took me back to that dream. Actually, he took me back to three dreams tonight. And I think that he did that for a reason, to show me that there's a whole nother realm. It's a new day here, and there's a new door that has opened. And I think that this is something that we are definitely going to walk through together, and it's going to come a lot more quickly. It's going to come a lot more quickly. When the Lord speaks to us in a dream, he'll always use your own personal life circumstances. You know, if you're an auto mechanic, he's going to talk to you about cars. I'm a hairdresser. He talks to me about hair. And hair, for me, is going to mean something very different for you. But it does have the same blanket meaning. So it's really important to discover God's own personal language for you. That to me is like the coolest thing about dreams, is that it's really personal. And the Lord has his own personal language. And you can get these books, you know, dog means this, cat means that. And that's just the blanket of a meaning. But it, you know, once you get into the context of it, it really starts to get a lot more personal. And I would encourage that if you want to start remembering your dreams, the best thing to do is before you go to bed, get a tablet and a pen and put it next to your bed. And that you will tell the Lord that if he gives you a dream for you to remember, that you will wake up and you will write it down. Even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, that you will write it down. Because what happens is if you don't do that, the dream disappears. It just, you think that you're going to remember and you don't. So I would encourage anybody to start doing that. And the other thing that I would encourage, just to get you started, just you want to start to see patterns, you know, start dating it. Notice if you wake up, write down the time. Look at the phase of the moon. You know, that's something that I have realized, that I've had most of my significant dreams in my life have been on new moons. I'll have dark dreams on a full moon. And medical science has proven this, that people actually sleep less. They don't have restful sleeps when there is a full moon. So don't be surprised if things kind of be stirred up when you are having a dream. And the other thing to do is to start looking for patterns in your dreams. Start looking, you know, like for me, that's when I started realizing, you know, like all of a sudden I'm in hair salons all the time, or, you know, that I'm doing hair, and I realize it has to do about the work that he's doing in me. The other thing to start looking for, because there's so much that you can get into with dream interpretation. But one of the things that he also does is he has word plays. So you may have a dream about New York, but New York could really mean a new work. There's a little word plays that he does in there. But you're not going to know this until you start to sit down and you spend that time and you start writing out your dreams and start looking for anything that you might have that has a pattern. You know, even if it's an action, maybe something that you're always doing, it will show up in a dream. Now, what I had happen tonight, there were three dreams that I have had throughout my lifetime. The one back in 1982 was a very significant dream. It was actually an encounter what I had with the Lord. And I remember it like it was yesterday. There was so much that had happened. But, you know, dreams have layers. As you get into it, you'll start to see that dreams have layers. And sometimes they can have dual meanings. You know, but you enter into a realm that's timeless. It's the realm of dreams. I don't know how would you describe it. It's you're in a whole nother realm. You're definitely in the spirit. You could have a dream in another language, in a foreign language. That's happened to me quite a few times. I've had dreams in different languages. It can happen to you. You know, and the Lord speaks to you through this. But what I saw, what happened tonight, is that there is this door that's opening where we can actually take our dreams and we can walk through our gates. And the Lord just opens it up and he'll tell you exactly what it means. You know, I've had another dream for years, been trying to figure out exactly what it meant, because, and even people that I know that, you know, that are so much more higher trained than I am, that, you know, they're just doing this, you know, I'll email them and ask them, like, you know, what does this mean? And they're like, not really sure, Pat, that this one's really out there. And like, the Lord showed me tonight. I went through that revelation gateway. It just opened up and he showed me exactly what that meant. Now, these were dreams that I've had. I mean, another one of these dreams that I had, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. But it's so significant about what it is that I'm about to be walking into. You know, and a lot of it does have to do with the gates. And I think that's what we want to do, is to, we want to pray on the gateways.
Just a couple of things. One of the funnest things about doing dream interpretation is we used to go out and to bookstores, coffee shops, unusual places, and do dream interpretation. And if you want an effective tool to catch someone's attention, interpret their dream. I mean, there was an instance with Virginia, had one where she had prayed for a lady, and I'll get tearful just talking about them because they were impactful for us. I can remember that was at Starbucks one time, and saying Starbucks, that's where I go to church a lot, but y'all can witness to me later about it. But I went there, and there was a girl standing there, and I looked, and I was like, oh, my Jesus, she was in my dream last night. And I'm trying to get out of there because I don't want to say, you know, I'm like, get out of here. But you know how you start to get that, I can't breathe and I can't get out of here feeling, because God goes, oh no, you are going to do this. Okay, now, she was obviously dealing with some sexual identity stuff, okay? Obviously, it was obvious. Now, bear with me because I will be emotional, because it was so incredibly impactful. I walked up to her when she handed me my coffee cup and I said, you were in my dream last night, okay? And she looked and went, oh, really? That's cool. What was it about? And I said, I saw your grandmother sitting on a porch praying for you. And the Lord had honored her prayers and said you would inherit her mantle of healing and you would preach the gospel. And she looked at me and she said, I'm gay. And I said, I am the messenger. That's between you and God. And I said, can I bless you? And she began shaking violently at Starbucks. I'm shaking violently at Starbucks. And I just laid my hand and said, let the word of the Lord be true. And before me and my friend left Starbucks, every employee had walked from behind the counter, bent their head over and said, will you bless me? Now that's easy evangelism right there. That's easy evangelism. And I remember shaking. I couldn't even say anything. I was just like, bless you. You know, I was more messed up than they were. But it was about six or seven actually came from behind the counter and did that. And so if you're called to evangelism, it's a huge tool. Virginia had an encounter where she had a dream about a lady. You want to share it? Because I just want to encourage you that there are purposes for these things, and they're not for us to hoard things to ourselves. There are purposes. So
I had a dream, and this was years ago, and I just saw this woman's face, and I knew she was a waitress in a restaurant, and that was all. That was all there was, just her face came up in my dream. And so, you know, I wrote it down and I just prayed for her, and the Lord didn't say anything else. He didn't show me anything. And it was probably several years later. We were doing a conference in Syracuse, New York, and we had gone out to eat at Applebee's, and we're sitting at the table. There's probably four or five of us. We're sitting at the table, and she was our waitress. And I was like, you guys, this is how I dreamed about her. It was a couple years ago, blah, blah, blah. And so at that time, I remembered exactly when I had had the dream. And so we just talked to her and, you know, said, you know, I dreamed about you, and can we pray for you? And when we figured it out, the time that God had given me the dream for her, she was young. She was maybe in her late 20s. Her husband had died. At the time that God gave me the dream was the time that her husband had died. And she let us pray for her. And she, you know, knew that God had had somebody that she didn't even know praying for her back then at that time through a dream.
Yeah, she had to leave, I think, after that. Because it just messed her up. Because the impact it can have. Because, I mean, you're talking out of nowhere that the God of the universe stops to speak about someone. So don't be quick to blow things off, because he'll bring them back up.
And I just want to tag team over here with this one. I think that the most powerful dreams that I have ever interpreted have been to unbelievers. And a few years back, when we were learning dream interpretation, I mean, they sent us out. And we were at the New Age conference in New York City, undercover as Christians. And we were with another ministry, and she was a Christian who was undercover, and we were part of her group. And, you know, there were all these booths. There were, you know, people were charging to do dream interpretation, and we were teams of two, and we were just walking through, and we were interpreting dreams. And I will never forget this one man. We interpreted his dream because he was talking about how he was carrying this big ball and chain that was just holding him down and dragging him down. And this ball and chain had ended him up in a jail. And he wanted to get out, and he couldn't get out. And we were able to tell him what that dream had meant. You know, and again, you know, you're not going to mention Jesus Christ. You know, you're going to, you know, mention your higher power, whoever Jesus is to them at their point in their life. Well, the dream, the interpretation so impacted this man. It's like all of a sudden, like it was like deer in headlights. This light went on. He didn't know what to do with it. And so I was with my friend. We were a group of two. And he came back with 10 of his friends. He like, you know, you have to do their dreams. You have to do their dreams. That's how powerfully that they're impacted, because God loves everybody. He doesn't have judgment on anyone. And it doesn't matter where you're at. He loves you. And he will speak to you in a dream, because if that's how he's going to get your attention, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think most of the time they always ask us, the New Age thing, they would look at us and go, your light's brighter than my light. Your light is wider than my light. Why is that? And we go, well, because my light is Jesus. And see, they'll acknowledge, they get hung up at that, but they're open to a point. But we always openly shared.
I have a friend that, do you know John Harding? He's a in the New England area does a lot of dream evangelism and stuff, and they have a thing in Salem, Massachusetts every year, you know, called Salem Witch Nights or whatever. And so they would do the same thing. They'd go and they'd do dream interpretation and psalm reading and spiritual cleansing, which is here, let us pray for you. You know, it's real cool what they do. And so he was telling me, he said, Virginia, they're so open. He said, God is drawing them. And he said, it's not rocket science. He said, God is so near. And he told the story of this one warlock that came up to wanted his dream interpretation. And he said, yeah, man, I was like standing underneath this tree and Jesus came up to me like this. What do you think that means? And my friend was like, I think maybe Jesus loves you. He's like, really? He said, really, it's like, you know, God is just so near them. It's really not hard, you know, so.
Light always overtakes darkness. A couple of practical things. Do you have more?
I just think we're going to keep it brief.
Yeah. All right. In case you're getting numb butt, we're going to go faster here. If you need to stand up and. Okay, now this is some practical application for you, is get yourself a dream journal, okay, that's reserved for your dreams. Put it by your bed. They have light. They have pens that have actual lights. When you click them, a light comes on so you can actually write your dream out without having to wake up everybody in your house. Write down your dream in as much detail as you can remember immediately upon waking up, or it will leave you. And then start reflecting on the dream. Just read it a few times. Usually when I'm writing it out, I get the interpretation. Because there's a reason and a message in that dream for you. And it's not, you know, you'll learn as you interpret what's a pizza dream and what's a God dream. You learn to discern that. Learn, one of the main things to do is date your dream. Put the date that you have the dream and write out a title. Just put a title. Don't take it out on a date. Just write your date down, okay? If it's January 4th, 2014, write that date down, because you may see a pattern where you ebb and flow into having dreams. Pat kind of touched on that. And take special note if you're having a reoccurring dream, okay, because that has some real significance for you. Look at what's the theme of the dream. Is it always warfare? Is it always, you know, dealing with this or that? Is it about you at your job? And what you learn to do is you learn to observe where you're at in the dream. Am I participating in this dream? Am I observing in this dream? Okay? If I'm observing, it may be about a situation I'm about to get involved in. But if I'm participating in it, the dream is about me. Okay? So that's a way to identify that. Identify objects and colors. Because as we start to learn to interpret, you'll look biblically at what the colors mean. Okay. Now I will caution you to not Google and use Wikipedia as your reference point of information. Okay, because they're going to have a Carl Jung approach, Jungian approach, and some approaches that aren't. Scripture most of the time will interpret your dream. Learn to contrast. There was a dream I used to have where I was fishing and I would catch porpoises, not fish. Okay? So I began asking, don't most people catch fish? Why am I catching a porpoise? It's a play on words, purpose. He was revealing my purpose to me. And see, had I just... See, you got to think a little bit outside of your norm. And you do that. Well, why did he mention this and not this? Why did he use this animal and not that? See, if you're afraid of dogs, chances are a dog's going to be scared of you. I love dogs. Okay? So that usually means someone close to me, a friend. Because dogs are loyal friends. Okay, but if you've been bitten 1,200 times by a dog, that may be somebody near you is biting you and talking about you. Okay, snakes mean certain things. Usually, they pretty much typically mean. And what is good for you is that you begin creating your own dream interpretation manual. That you start categorizing animals, and every time you have a dream with an animal, you open up that page on your computer and you write down black dog is this, or dog is this, this is meant this. And it begins to then click, and your brain starts thinking outside of its linear way of thinking. Look and see if there are vehicles in your dreams, because those usually mean certain things. Look to see if there's an ongoing theme. I used to work in this one place, and I actually found my dream journal from that season I was there. And for an entire year I was there, and every dream had an alligator in it. Okay? Didn't take a rocket science. You know? Did not take a rocket science to figure that out, that there were some things going on, okay? Then I had a dream where a black snake was coiled up and it was coming down to bite me, okay? Guess who they hired, okay? An intercessor who happened to be black, who operated by familiar spirit. See, God gave me a warning. He was preparing me how to deal with it. So those are some things. And just be faithful with your dreams. Because if, especially this generation from like, I don't know, age is so relative to me, 25, 30 and younger, there is such a revelatory thing with dreams. I mean, they're all time. I had this dream. Did you write it down? No. Nope, I'm not interpreting it. That's, if you come ask me to interpret, that's the first question. Did you write it down, and have you put a title on it? Because if you won't even go through that effort, you're not going to put a quarter in me and get your interpretation. Because you're probably not going to do anything with the information. You just want information for fun's sake. So we're going to be, you know, got some more?
The other thing, too, I was supposed to mention this before, is when you're writing it down, maybe after you wrote it down, or maybe you don't have time, draw it out. Even if it's just stick people, what that does is that helps stimulate your right brain. And you need to stimulate your creativity in order to interpret a dream. And another good thing to help you start in that process is Matthew chapter 13 is filled with parables. Start reading that, going through the parables and looking at what Jesus had said and, you know, and praying about it and asking the Lord, you know, why this and not that? Contrast, I think, is the most important element, I think, in a dream. And at the end of the day, pray. You can take your dream and just bring it before the Lord and pray and see what he tells you, because he'll say something.
Yep. So, if you want prayer for dreams, dream interpretation, we're going to teach about some different things along this line for a few weeks to get a little more in depth about some things. What you want to do? Okay. If you want to have an increase in dreams, you can just stand up and we're going to do a prayer. Remember, this comes with responsibility. If you are not going to do anything with it, I would just say sit down and don't do that yet. Yes, go ahead. Let's go ahead. Okay, so Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that for your faithfulness and how you are showing us about our gates, and we're asking you to increase your flow through our revelation gates, that you are going to increase our revelation gifts, that we're going to learn to tune our spirit to hear your voice and the many and various ways that you speak. And Lord, I would ask for a heightened sensitivity to our spirit to catch the small whispers and to catch the coincidences, and to be faithful to write down our dreams, be faithful to inquire of the Lord about them. And we thank you that you're not hiding things from us, but that you're hiding things for us, because you are raising us up as kings and priests. And this is just a part of our training. And so, Father, I would ask that you would just begin to open up dreams and visions to us, where they've been shut down through spoken word curses, that's just your imagination, that, Lord, you would break the words off of people, that you would break fear off of people of trying to, that are afraid they're going to dream something about from their soul realm and their spirit, and they get all wiggy about all that without allowing you to mature them. And Lord, we just yield our spirit to Christ. We acknowledge that we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, and that he is our Lord and King. And so we're inviting Christ to take us into the mysteries. We thank you that it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so, Jesus, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you that as our revelation gate opens, that we will behold your beauty in greater and greater dimensions, because we become what we behold. And it is our desire to be like Jesus. That it's so obvious that your light that flows out of us will be a light that outshines darkness. Teach us to not be afraid of darkness. So we just honor you. We worship you as the one true God. And so, Lord, give us that spirit of adventure to make us hungry and desperate to search out the mysteries. Thank you that you speak to each of us in a language that we can comprehend, that you use pictures that are familiar to us. Help us to be faithful with the little glimpses of light that you give us. Thank you for the aha moments. And so, Father, tonight, if we need to go through cleansing dreams, then take us through cleansing dreams, so that our gates are cleansed of vain imaginations and where we've looked at things we ought not to have looked at. And Lord, we just declare over this body there is no condemnation in that, that the Father will cleanse us of all unrighteousness by his blood. In Jesus' name. Okay, now what a cleansing dream looks like is you could be standing naked in front of a group of people, okay? Or you can be going to the bathroom in front of a group of people, okay? That's what a cleansing dream often looks like. So don't think that's bad, okay? Because He takes away all the things that are hidden and brings them to light. And if you're not careful, you'll get under condemnation and get embarrassed, you know.